Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
38-22 before 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL, pleased to welcome in latest member of the U.S. Louisiana delegation to Washington, Troy Carter, U.S. Congressman, a Democrat. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well, and I appreciate you taking the time with us. I got to ask you, I know you've been to Washington before and been involved, but actually being sworn in, being a representative, how is the reality of it matching up to what you thought it was going to be?
You know, it's amazing. It's a bit like drinking from a fire hose. a lot of moving parts, man. As you know, I've served in public life for a very long time, having served on the city council, Louisiana House of Representatives, and the state Senate. Serving in Congress is a very special honor. To represent the people in the nation's house is a very, very special honor, one that comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of moving parts. And I'm very excited and grateful to be here.
On a personal note, before we get to policy, it has to hit you, I would think, if not every day, often, that you're doing what you read about in civics books and what you grew up learning. And I mean, you're there. You're one of the guy men and women that are doing this. So that's gotta just be overwhelming sometime, huh?
Yeah, and particularly for me, who I studied government in school. It's my undergraduate degree, and so it was something that I'm a student of history, a student of government, a lover of the Constitution. So when you live those things and then you find yourself walking the halls where so many historical titans once walked, it's a bit overwhelming and humbling.
I would imagine. So when it comes to working with the Republican, you're the only Democrat in the delegation. How hard is it to put all of that aside? And do you guys ever, and I don't think it's all men, isn't it? All get together
We have one newest member, Representative Julia.
Oh, Leslie. That's right. That's exactly right. Though whose husband passed away, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So do y'all all get together as a Louisiana caucus from time to time and have lunch or meet or talk about what's going on in different houses or different committees, et cetera, and what could benefit the state?
We haven't collectively yet since I've been a member, but I'm only a month and a half old, so I'm certain that those things may have happened in the past, and I'm certainly going to encourage, if it hadn't happened in the past, that we do more of it. When I was in the state Senate, I regularly hosted events to get Republicans and Democrats together so we could kind of socialize and talk business at the same time. Building relationships matter. Regardless of your party affiliation, we should not ever let the needs of the people of Louisiana be hindered because of one's ideological differences. I work very well with our delegation. We don't always agree, and I'm not sure that's necessarily a bad thing. Disagreeing represents the fact that we represent different parts of the state and different people. But those things should be few and far between. Things like infrastructure, education, health care, crime prevention, criminal justice reform, those are all things that really should not be partisan. And so we try to work along those lines to advance those needs, those wishes and dreams and hopes and even fears of our constituents, to make sure they know that the six members of that make up the Louisiana delegation in the House all work together. That's certainly an effort that I will continue to push for.
Yeah, you're not wearing a Republican jersey or a Democrat jersey. You're wearing a Louisiana jersey. What are you wearing? Tell me real quick before we get to some of the things you've accomplished in terms of crime, and you know what's going on back home here. I presume you're in Washington right now. I don't know. But is there anything the federal government can do to help the city of New Orleans and the problem we're having with violent crime?
Yeah, and you may have noticed that the President Biden's administration talked about, they had some of the police chiefs up to the White House, I think, last week to talk about initiatives to help local governments battle crime. And while we see an uptick here in Louisiana and New Orleans more specifically and in Baton Rouge, we see it across the country. For whatever reason, there has been a significant crime tick across the country. And fortunately, the federal government is stepping up to provide additional resources in the way of funding for training, funding for the kind of crime prevention that we once had in the past when we had community policing, where police officers were on the ground in the community and seen as a help and not as a hindrance. We know that there's been a significant issue with the kind of issues that have happened with police brutality. And we've got to get back to a point where the police are recognized as the agents of service and protection. And so we know that most police officers are, in fact, doing that. We've got bad ones, and we should weed those out and get rid of them and make sure that they never get a gun or badge again. And the federal government stepping in to provide resources is something that's essential.
So what are some of the things that you got done so far that you're kind of proud of, and I would think you would be, especially going back to the conversation of it's real, you're really there doing stuff, and that you've done things and made a difference. Some of the accomplishments so far, Troy?
Well, you know, some of the things that's been really cool is, as you know, we were able to pass our infrastructure bill out of the House, and that's a real big deal. Invest in America Act, to move that bill out of the House of Representatives. As you may know, I serve on the powerful Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, which I'm incredibly grateful to serve on that committee, as well as Small Business, two committees that are so critically important to Louisiana at this particular time. But passing that bill out with tons of money for roads and bridges that will create jobs and infrastructure. As you know, many of our roads and bridges are crumbling throughout the state of Louisiana. We have money in the bill to do a transportation passenger rail project from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. You may remember that money was in the budget years ago, and then Governor Bobby Jindal, for whatever reason, rejected the money, so we didn't get that project. Well, now we have it back in the budget to do just that, money for rapid rails, money for removing infrastructure that has divided neighborhoods, like the overpass that runs down Claiborne Avenue, which is huge. Very proud that we were able to, in the infrastructure bill, I had an amendment that had bipartisan support. Very proud that I was the lead author on the amendment to end the slaughter of equines, beautiful horses that have been slaughtered and taken across state lines to Mexico and Canada, where they're consumed as food, which, you know, our horses aren't bred to be food, and they're not bred to be traveled thousands of miles across state lines to prodded and tortured into slaughterhouses for human consumption.
Troy, before we run out of time, I just wanted to thank you for doing that, because if you look into the horse racing business, it is not a nice industry at all, and there are a lot of reforms that need to be done, and I'm glad you took that step. But let me get back to infrastructure for a second before we run out of time. As you all know, passing the House is not enough. Senator Cassidy and a bipartisan group of moderates have put together this compromise. The Speaker of the House, I think, says there has to be linkage between that and the reconciliation bill. Where do you stand on this? Do you see that there is it going to be a victory only nominally in that it was in the House bill, or is the House going to be open to compromise? What are you hearing from leadership, et cetera?
Well, you know, listen, we're going to have to compromise. I mean, the bottom line is in any deliberative body, in a legislative body, compromise is the order of the day. The question becomes how reasonable parties are with their compromise. We have to have a fully funded infrastructure bill. We have to have a robust infrastructure bill. We don't have the luxury to start tinkering around with minutia. The American people deserve better. They deserve a infrastructure plan that passes both houses with reasonable compromise, not the kind of bickering or the kind of partisan jargon that, that we've heard for far too many years. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful that, that our senators will come aboard and recognize that Louisiana should be first. Infrastructure in the way of roads and bridges and infrastructure in the way of housing and broadband. Listen, in 2021, broadband is as necessary as indoor plumbing. You know, yet many people in our state, in our rural areas, don't have access to broadband. If our children are going to be in classrooms that are virtual, and we don't know how long that's going to last, I suspect to some extent some parts of that will become permanent. People do business differently now. We do distant learning. We do broadband business meetings. We do organization and even worshiping on online. So we have to make sure that those necessities that were once considered a luxury, broadband is in every household and it's affordable. These are all things that are part of this reconciliation and this infrastructure bill.
We got 2 minutes left. If I put you in a room, you're a Democrat from the House, and I put Bill Cassidy in a room, who's a Republican from the Senate, who is instrumental in this compromise bill, would you support what he put together with his other moderate friends or not?
I think that if you put us in a room together, we'll come out with a successful plan. I think Bill Cassidy and Troy Carter sitting in the room will come up with a plan that's acceptable to Republicans and Democrats because we both have the capacity to put people first.
Thank you, Troy. Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
I want to thank you, man. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Love to come back periodically and give you an update on what's going on in Washington. Love to stay close and let you guys know what we're doing. The closer the people are to us, the better we serve them.
Do that, please. We'd love to have you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Troy Carter, U.S. Congressman, taking a break, coming back on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.